Today we're going to build a jungle-style mid-base routing setup in Ableton Live 12 that hits harder against the sub, without wrecking the low end. This is one of those intermediate DNB skills that instantly makes your bass lines feel more serious, because the goal is not just size. The goal is control, contrast, and impact. In heavy drum and bass, especially jungle and rollers, the bass has to work with the drums, not fight them. Your kick, snare, break, sub, and mid-bass are all competing for a very tight part of the spectrum, so if the routing is messy, the whole drop can lose punch fast, but when the routing is clean, the sub stays solid, the mid-bass adds attitude, and the arrangement breathes in a way that feels powerful. So first, think in frequency rolls, not just layers. The sub is your anchor. The mid-bass is your movement, attack, and texture. If a sound isn't clearly doing one of those jobs, it's probably clutter. Start by creating two MIDI tracks. Name one sub and the other mid-bass. For the sub, keep it simple. Use operator with a sine wave, or wave-eatable if that's your preference, but operator is the quick and reliable choice. Make the sub mono, keep the attack short, sustain full, and release clean so nothing spills into the next note. If you want, use utility to make sure it stays centered. For the mid-bass, start with something that has more character. A saw-based patch, a dual oscillator, or a resampled reese can all work well. Add a little detune or phase movement, but don't try to make it carry the whole low end. That's a common mistake. The mid-bass should live mostly above about 100 Hz, and often higher than that depending on the sound. A good starting split is the sub below around 90 to 120 Hz, and the mid-bass mostly above that. That's not a strict law, but it gives you a strong foundation. The sub gives the weight, and the mid-bass gives the bite. Now write the bass line like a drum performance, not like a chord progression. In jungle and DNB, bass is often more effective when it responds to the break. Program a short one or two bar phrase that leaves room for the snare and the main drum hits. Use short notes on the offbeats, leave gaps where the snare lands, and only hold longer notes when the groove really needs pressure. Try thinking in call and response. One bar makes a statement, the next bar answers it. Then maybe the third and fourth bars introduce a variation or a lift. This keeps the loop alive and stops it from feeling like a static MIDI pattern. Once the parts are written, route both bass tracks into a bass group. This is where the two layers start to behave like one instrument. On the group, keep the processing light. Use utility first if you need gain staging. Then maybe EQ8 for gentle shaping. A tiny bit of glue compressor can help glue the layers together, but don't overdo it. If you want extra density, a subtle saturator can add thickness without flattening everything. The bass group is not where you solve major problems. It's where you bind the layers together. Now focus on the mid-bass. Put EQ8 at the front of the chain and high-pass it so it doesn't compete with the sub. A good starting point is somewhere around 90 to 140 Hz, depending on how thick the patch is. If it still feels too heavy down low, push the cutoff higher. If it gets too thin, bring it back a little. After that, shape the tone. Saturator is great here, overdrive can work too. Add some harmonics so the bass speaks on smaller speakers and cuts through the drums. If you want movement, use auto filter. If you want a bit of width, use chorus ensemble very lightly, but be careful. In drum and bass, too much stereo in the low mids can make the bass feel cloudy instead of heavy. If you want more grit, try a little redux, but keep it subtle. A touch of digital edge can sound amazing in jungle, especially on repeat stabs or aggressive drop hits. Now for one of the best parts of this setup, parallel dirt. Instead of destroying the clean mid-bass with heavy distortion, create a return track for extra aggression. On that return, use saturator, then overdrive, then EQ8. You can even add redux if you want more bite. Drive the saturator fairly hard on the return, maybe around 5 to 10 dB, and use overdrive to emphasize the frequency range that gives you the useful bite. Then high pass the return around 150 to 250 Hz, so it doesn't muddy the sub. This is important. The dirt return should add attitude, not low-end chaos. Send the mid-bass into that return and automate the send amount. Push it up for impact notes, fills, and drop accents. Pull it back for the more open parts. This is where the bass starts feeling like it's changing energy over time, not just playing the same loop. If your mid-bass is starting to mess with the sub, stop and check the source. Don't just try to fix it at the end of the chain. Keep the sub simple and predictable. Use short, even note lengths. Keep it mono. Avoid too many jumps unless the groove really needs them. The sub should feel like a steady engine, while the mid-bass does the expressive work. A really useful test is to solo the kick and sub together first, then bring in the mid-bass. If the base suddenly feels smaller or weaker, the mid layer is probably masking the fundamental instead of supporting it. That's your cue to clean up the high pass, reduce the low mid buildup, or simplify the patch. Now let's make the arrangement feel musical. The NB bass is not just about sound design. It's about how the bass evolves over 8, 16, and 32 bars. So automate the filter cutoff, the distortion send, the utility gain, and if you're using Waveeatable or Operator, even the Waveeatable position or FM amount. A classic move is to filter the mid bass down gradually in the bars leading into the drop. Then, when the drop lands, open it up and push the distortion send harder. Later in the drop, reduce the send a little to create a breathing moment. That contrast is what keeps the groove alive. You can also automate note density instead of only filter movement. Start with fewer stabs, then increase the activity as the section builds. That way the energy rises without needing to make the sound brighter and brighter. Another powerful trick is resampling. If the mid-bass patch is getting messy with live devices, print it to audio. In Ableton Live 12, that often makes the phrase easier to arrange and lets you edit transients, fades, and gaps much more precisely. Sometimes the best routing decision is to freeze the sound into something you can sculpt like audio. As you build the full loop, keep checking it in context with the drums. Don't finalize the bass balance in solo. Loop the kick, snare, and break together, then listen to how the bass sits in the pocket. The heaviest bass isn't always the loudest bass. Often it's the most disciplined bass. Watch out for the usual mistakes. Don't let the mid bass carry too much sub. Don't spread the low end wide. Don't distort the main bass so hard that you lose the clean note. Don't make the bass line too busy. In DNB, groove often comes from what you leave out. And don't overcompress the bass group, because if the transients get crushed, the whole track loses movement. For a heavier jungle or darker roller vibe, try this mindset: let the sub stay boring on purpose. That's not a weakness. That's the anchor. The movement should come from the mid-bass, from automation, and from the interaction with the drums. You can also take this further by splitting the mid-bass into two filtered bands. One lane can focus on the lower harmonics and body, while the other lane handles the upper growl and grit. Blend them differently across sections so the bass evolves without changing the actual notes. Another great arrangement trick is the drop-only version. Duplicate the mid-bass track, make a more aggressive version, and mute it except for the first 4 or 8 bars of the drop. That gives the section a real lift without needing a brand new sound. And if you want more life in the line, use tiny velocity changes, micro pitch movement, or even a half bar bass mute before the drop lands. That kind of negative space makes the return hit way harder. So to recap the core workflow, keep the sub and mid bass separate, route them into a bass group. Use the mid-bass for movement and attitude, use parallel dirt for aggression, and automate filter and send level so the bass develops with the arrangement. Always check in mono, always listen with the drums, and always remember that in drum and bass, the heaviest low end usually comes from smart routing, not just more distortion. Now take this concept and build a 2-bar phrase at 170 BPM. Make the sub clean, make the mid-bass speak above it, route in parallel dirt, and then loop it against a break until it locks. When that sub feels solid and the mid-bass starts punching like part of the rhythm section, you're there. That's the sound.